in the book of Malachi, chapter number 3, verse number 16, it says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." Verse number 17, the words are there that he will make up his jewels. In that day when I make up my jewels. This passage, this thought was given to me as I laid in the hospital about our young people. I mentioned it not long after I got out of the hospital and thought that recovery was going to be swift and easy. Said that I was going to preach at some time, and I just kind of laid it aside, and the Lord began to speak to me after Jonathan and Amberly said they wanted to have Carson dedicated. You say, well, what is this all about? It's really pretty simple. I want to be a jewel seeker. I want to be a jewel seeker. Because it seems as though God is going to make up his jewels. If we go over to 2 Chronicles chapter number 16 and verse number 9, maybe this verse is more familiar to us, but it records it this way in the King James, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from thenceforth thou shalt have wars." The specific part of that verse that we want to consider is that the eyes of the Lord are looking to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Making up his jewels. I want to be a jewel seeker, do you? Do you want to help young people to make it in, to be able to be the jewel that God wants them to be? I do. Am I a seeker after young jewels, or do I only see the flaws in the jewels? Do your kids have flaws? You might as well say amen, because they do. Oh, that doesn't mean that they're not good kids. It doesn't mean that they're not trying their best to be a Christian and that they're obedient, 90% of the time or something. But there's something to be said about looking for jewels, but the only thing that we can find are the flaws. I don't want to be that. I want to be one to seek after jewels. You know, it's a little bit frightening to think about all of the trouble that can happen when the youth do something. We probably think that and feel that way because we know how it was when we were youth and somebody let us do something and how we messed it up and flubbed it up. No. Nobody's with me on that. It was just me that messed it up. Surely not. Because somewhere along the line, we probably just didn't get it quite right the way that somebody else looking on thought that we should have been able to do it. How about we take a look at some flawed people? Anybody want to volunteer? No, I'm not talking about flawed people that may be represented here this evening. I want to look at flawed people in the Scriptures. I want to look at a few flawed people that God has given to us in record as being flawed. Because we're looking at seeing how we can be a jewel seeker. We're looking at how we can find the jewels that God can make up for himself. Because his eyes are looking. I believe that his eyes are looking up and down the aisles and in and out of the pews at Wiseball Community Church tonight. He's looking for people, for young people, some jewels. Let me take a look at a few of the flawed people that God records for us. 1 Samuel chapter number 10 records a passage for us that gives to us and reveals to us what a flawed person might look like. And Samuel called the people together unto the Lord to Mizpah, and said unto the children of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt, and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all kingdoms, and all of them that oppressed you. And ye have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all of your adversities and your tribulations. And ye have said unto him, Nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. And when he caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Machri was taken. And Saul, the son of Kish, was taken. And they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, Behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. And they ran and fetched him thence. And when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upward. And Samuel said to all the people, See ye him? Take a look at him, for the Lord hath chosen. Did you get that? The Lord hath chosen that there is none like him among all the people. And all the people shouted and said, God save the king. Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom and wrote it in a book and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. Did you catch that? This was one that God handpicked. God handpicked Saul to be the king, the first king over all Israel. And what happened? He went downhill quick. You say, well, what does that have to do with anything? It has to do with God picked him to do a certain thing, but sin entered into his heart to do something else. And while we may see flaws in somebody else around us, a young person that is trying, understand and remember that we have a responsibility to help them along and to encourage them along. And we have a responsibility to teach them not to look and dwell only on their flaws. Saul was somewhat of a successful king in some ways. Another one that we can find as a flawed individual in the Old Testament is in the book of Jonah. You know who we're going to talk about in the book of Jonah? Yeah, I suppose you do. It's Jonah. The very first verse of the book of Jonah says, Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee. Didn't God know that Jonah was flawed when he called him? Yeah, he did. But he still called him. He had to take him to the very depths of the ocean, to the depths of the sea, into the midst of a nasty environment to get him to the point where he could repent of those sins that he had committed of running away from the call. Oh, that's a terrible thing. That is a terrible thing. We ought to just pounce on Jonah and cast him out and say, forget it, Jonah. We don't have any time for you. But that's not the case. God called Jonah. And even though we see that Saul never found repentance, we see that Jonah finds repentance and he comes around. God handpicked Jonah to do the task. Even after the task was concluded, Jonah struggled because God didn't punish the people of Nineveh. Jonah kind of knew that the people of Nineveh, if they repented, that God would repent of his threat or of his promise to bring judgment. And so it upset him even for that. We don't hear anything more out of Jonah after that, but he did the word of the Lord. God hand-picked him to do a task. And he already knew what it was going to be for him. What about David? Oh, I know David was a man after God's own heart, but we have to take a look and notice that Samuel was supposed to anoint a king, and so he went to Jesse's home and Jesse's place, and all of these sons of Jesse marched before him, and Samuel was supposed to anoint one of them. And when they got all done passing over and passing in front of Samuel, he said, "The Lord hath not chosen these." And so they went out and got David and brought him in. And he was told then in verse 12 of 1 Samuel 16, "Arise and anoint him, for this is he." He was the least likely of the bunch. But God handpicked him. Did David always please the Lord? No. He had some flaws, didn't he? I believe that at one time he numbered the people when he wasn't supposed to number them. You know, there were some things about David that just didn't measure up. Oh, we better write him off. We better kick him out. We better stomp him in the ground. Let's not let this guy ruin things for us. No, no, no. We've got to preserve. And so we go on a preservation mode and we destroy little David. I want to be a jewel seeker. And not pay so much attention. Not be looking for the flaws, but looking for the good. Because God's looking for some jewels. Let's jump over to the New Testament even. And look into the New Testament at a man that, again, I tell you, we have criticized, people have criticized him time and time again, but he's handpicked. Matthew chapter 4. Jesus, verse number 18, Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. What a story, isn't it? God handpicked Peter. God handpicked Peter. Jesus went to Peter face to face and said, "Leave that all behind. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Come and follow me. Be my disciple." Oh, it sounds great, doesn't it? Sounds just all, you know, peaches and cream. What did Peter do? Besides denying the Lord. You know, what do you mean? Isn't that big enough? Yeah, that's big enough. But there were some little things about Dave or about Peter. He had some issues. He argued amongst the disciples about who was the greatest. He thought that it was time to draw the sword and he cut off a servant's ear. He had a way of getting ahead of things, and he had a way in his flawed heart to do things that it wasn't meant to be, but Jesus hand-picked him. You see, the bottom line is that the worst of the worst have been used mightily by the Holy Spirit after the heart was transformed. The worst of the worst. God can help make a jewel out of somebody like Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus was wicked and mean and hateful and murderous. God made him a shining jewel. The heart can be transformed. Sometimes the devil would convince somebody, some young person's heart, that the devil would do his best to convince them that, well, they just don't have much. You don't have a whole lot to offer. You can't do much. Young people, middle-aged, older ones, has the devil ever told you that? Probably so. Probably so. You don't measure up. You can't do it. You're not enough. That's one of the old tricks of the enemy. There's a passage in the book of Matthew that speaks about that. You know, Jesus was looking for some food to feed a lot of people, and it seems as though there wasn't any food to be had. And the disciples, in their minds, they saw the limitations. They saw that they didn't have the means to do what Jesus was wanting them to do. And so because of that, they, in their flawed vision, looked only at the small amount of fish, 5 loaves and 2 fish. The Amplified says that the disciples responded to Jesus and said, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. Boy, that's minimizing it pretty bad, doesn't it? That's taking it down pretty low, pretty small. The English Standard said the disciples responded to him saying, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. Only, only." And probably all of us would say that. In comparison to what Jesus was wanting to do or needing to do, we would say the same thing. There's just not enough, Lord. We're just not enough. I recently read where somebody said that a candle can do something, or a lantern can do something that the sun can't do. Anybody else read that recently? A lantern can do something that the sun can't do. Really? You know, a lantern, or a candle, a little light is so small and insignificant compared to the light of the sun. What can a lantern possibly do that the sun can't do? A lantern can shine at night. A lantern can shine at night. The sun doesn't shine at night on our side of the world. Something small, insignificant. Oh, I know, we can take that and we can really, you know, well, that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. The point is that it's something small and insignificant that can do something that something great can't do. We only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. So what does that have to do? What does all this have to do with our kids this evening? Well, what it has to do with our children tonight is the is a reminder to us as parents and grandparents that we need to teach them, we need to train them, we need to restrain them. We need to point them and lead them and be a fitting example for them. We don't need to leave it to the pastor to have to deal with them about the rules of right versus wrong, or to correct them on what they should wear to be active an active part of ministry, but that we as parents and grandparents take that responsibility and we teach and train and restrain. Point them, lead them, and example for them. You know, we go to youth conventions and youth camp meetings, and we hear the evangelists say over and over again, challenging young people to go back home and be prepared and volunteer to do things in the church. Go ready. I've heard them say, I think it was at youth convention out in Pennsylvania, go platform ready. Whatever that means for whatever church. Moms and dads, let's teach them that. Let's encourage them to be that. And then, when? Now, don't shoot at me here for this. But when? Not if, but when they don't cross the T just right, or they don't dot the I sensibly, then we give them grace. We surround them with love, and we surround them with prayer, and we give them an arm of support. We don't let them slide by. No, I'm not encouraging anybody to let a child or a youth person slide by, get by. No, that's not what I'm talking about. But we get into their lives. We get into their space. We get into their head. We get into their heart. We teach them diligently. We teach them intentionally. But we love them unconditionally. Mom and dad, if you have a problem or if you have an issue of disciplining your children out of embarrassment by what they've done, stop. Breathe. Discipline them for the wrong that they've done. Don't discipline them because they've embarrassed you. Mm-mm. I don't go for that. I don't think God wants us to do that. We discipline, we restrain, and we teach because that is the need that they have. Because loving unconditionally wipes away that personal embarrassment. Surround them with prayer and love and an arm of support. Get into their lives. Intentional, diligent. The scripture that I read at the beginning of the dedication talked about diligently teaching them. I'm sure that some of these school teachers that are here, Vicky's got a lot of expertise on teaching kids. There's a lot of intentionality involved in teaching. It takes diligence. My hat's off to them, I guarantee it. Especially in those younger years. Whew. Be a jewel maker. By God's help, be a jewel maker. I know that for myself, I want to be a better jewel seeker. We've got some wonderful kids. We have some tremendous young people. When they do something, I want to praise them. I don't want to tell them how they could have done it better. Oh, you could have done that better. 40 years down the road, you'll be able to do that. Forget that. I want to encourage them the way they've done it. Now, if they come and ask me how can I do it better, then I might have an opinion for that. But just to tell them and to encourage them, I want to be a jewel seeker, not looking for the flaws. God didn't look at the flaws when he picked these people. He looked at what they could be, and he called them. They're flawed, but he still called them. I want to be a jewel seeker. Because I believe with all of my heart that God's eyes are looking to and fro throughout the whole church of Wiseball Community Church. And he knows that there's some jewels here that he's going to make up his own jewels. He's calling them and he's seeking them and he's claiming them to be his. I want to help that. Young people, I want to be in your corner. I want to encourage you to live for God. There'll be no disappointments, no regrets if you give your heart entirely to Him and walk faithfully with Him. If is a big thing. There will be times that you will stumble. You'll maybe trip even. Get up and keep moving. Get up and keep on going. God's looking beyond the flaw. Oh, He wants to help that flaw and fix that flaw, sure enough, but He's looking beyond the flaw. I want to be a jewel seeker. Let's do it together. Let's stand together tonight. Young people, if there's any way I can help you, and I don't see that open door, please let me know that you're wanting some help, needing some help. I don't want to look at your flaws. Whew. Man, if people would have looked at my flaws, and some of them did, but not everybody, thank God for those that didn't, saw beyond those flaws. God can and will do something great in your life, even if it's a little candle. Shine in the midst of the darkness of your world. God can help you shine. Praise God. Chad Damon, would you dismiss us tonight?